Hello, friends, and welcome to DBC Conversations. This is a podcast designed to help you go deeper and to help you understand what it looks like to follow Jesus in our day. Each week, we'll discuss the messages taught at DBC and how we can grow together as the body of Christ. My name is AJ, and I'm here with our lead pastor,
Chad Zook,
and we're your hosts for this conversation.
And it is so good to be here today and having this conversation. Yeah. Yesterday, I talked about one of my favorite teams, the Miami Dolphins, and I'm trying to be subversive and convince everyone to like the Miami Dolphins, by the way. That's actually what this conversation is about, is just the Miami Dolphins. Actually, it's not. But I do talk about sports from time to time, and a lot of my stories connect with sports, and I did mention Miami Dolphins yesterday, but I'm a sports guy.
Right.
Are you a sports guy?
Not as much of a sports guy as you are.
Okay.
Or most people around here. I do love one particular team in particular, mm-hmm. the Nashville Predators.
Mm-hmm. And what sport is that?
They're a hockey team.
Hockey?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have like a long heritage of hockey players in your family?
Long ago, no.
long ago.
No, I started watching the Predators play probably 3 years ago. It was just a weird, like, I think I want to start watching hockey. And so I texted a friend who was a Predators fan, and he gave me all the reasons in the world to watch the Predators. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was sold.
Give me some of those reasons.
Okay.
Why is it that we should pay attention to hockey?
Hockey is amazing. It's okay. A team sport.
Right.
It's fast-paced. So you like basketball. Well, we both like basketball.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like basketball and soccer combined on ice.
Okay.
So imagine 300-pound muscle just like coming at you mm-hmm. on ice. And then you're trying to get this puck all the way to the other end of the goal. Like it's exciting.
I'm a little fearful of that reality.
Exactly. Lots of injuries.
Yeah.
No, the Predators are great. They've this year they didn't make it. 2 years ago they made it to the Stanley Cup, which is like the championship for mm-hmm. hockey. This year they made it to like round two or three. It was kind of an upset, but they were number one in the whole league the whole year. So it was kind of definitely an upset to be the number one and then flake out in the playoffs.
So did when they came on the scene, did they automatically start winning?
No, they were kind of a nobody for a few years, and then just picked up really great players, and mm-hmm. next thing you know, they're where they were this year, number one.
Right. It's interesting in sports, and it's so clear to see in sports, actually, is how, you know, it's really easy usually to root for a team that's winning.
Oh, yeah.
Like the whole bandwagon thing.
Right,
and
right.
Like, I just cannot get behind the bandwagon thing.
Yeah.
Although people could probably say that I'm a bandwagoner because I like the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, and they're a great team.
Right. And I had no idea who they were before Steph Curry and the fellas came on board. But I do now. So, but let's get back. It is easy in sports to see that people tend to be bandwagoners or they jump on something that's winning.
Sure.
And I said something yesterday and part of this was my opinion. It was a formed opinion based off some evidence, but I want your opinion because, you know, I believe it's valid certainly for this conversation. But
sure.
Do you feel like Christianity is winning in our country today?
Hmm. I think it depends on where you place your trust.
Okay.
I think that right now we're kind of in a special period as Christians. We have a president who's who kind of has won the evangelical side, but it looked different 8 years ago, and it looked different than that 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it comes down to the question of not which side politically you're on, but where your trust is. Mm-hmm. Is it in the government or is it in Christ?
Okay.
Yeah.
So winning is really relative as to where you put your faith and trust.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That really makes sense. For me, I went a certain direction yesterday when it came to faith I gave a definition of faith, but I went a certain direction when it came to really the government.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the underlying things that I have seen, and perhaps you have seen this too, that the government needs Christianity, but Christianity doesn't need the government.
Hmm.
And even in that, maybe the reason why what you had said was people putting their trust, you know, it depends on where they put their trust. Maybe right. there's some people who are born again Christians who feel like we're losing.
Right.
It's because they just have their, they kind of have their foot on one side where, yes, I trust Jesus, but also I trust this political figure right, right. to make sure everything's going to be
sure.
okay.
Yeah, totally.
Speak into that a little, if you would.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we live, right now it's politically charged. It doesn't matter what side
sure.
you're on. It's yep. it's politically charged. And if we're not careful, we can look at our leader as being, you know, the savior. Like this mm-hmm. person is going to get us out of this problem, or he's going to fix this, or he's going to bring this change, or what. And we just have to come to the realization that the only person that can do that is Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a leader or a person. And I think that's where we have gotten off, is every year we buy into promises that people make us. And while those are well and good, and there's a lot of good absolutely. Things that have come from all leaders of all shapes and forms and leanings, but at the same time, they're no comparison into what Christ does for us as
absolutely.
Believers.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. If I could, I just want to caveat just a little
sure.
bit and dig into another part of this. At no point, for all of you listeners, at no point are we saying that we are anti-American,
no.
anti-government. We love this country.
Sure.
I serve this country.
Yeah.
Every part of it's good, you know, as far as the freedoms and all those things are good that we get to exercise those freedoms and live under a government with laws.
Absolutely.
And those laws were largely based off of Judeo-Christian mm-hmm. values and beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you and I are unified in this, that we are not saying we're against the government, but
right.
we're pro-Jesus.
Yeah, totally.
Above all things.
Totally.
So, and here's my little caveat. I believe it's so necessary for us that we pray for our governmental, whether it's local,
yeah.
state level, also the national level of leadership.
Right.
Whether we agree with them or not, we should mm-hmm. pray for them. And in accordance with what Romans 13, I believe it's verses 1 through 7, it speaks into this, we have to submit to the authorities.
Hmm.
So at no point am I saying, and I know that you're not saying, that we should seek some sort of rebellion away from
no,
the government.
We're not anarchists.
Like, we're not those guys.
Yeah, right.
At all.
Right.
But we're saying that, you know what, largely that those have some value, but our faith is in Christ.
Right, right. And you mentioned, you had two quotes yesterday, mm-hmm. one from George Washington, one from Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm. We call him G-Dub,
okay.
just in case.
G-Dub.
Just so we're using common language.
Right. So how are those two quotes relevant for today? If you haven't listened to the podcast, it'll be up by the time you hear this, but mm-hmm. how would you talk about how those are relevant today?
Yeah, I use those two quotes just to help the Christian to be able to understand that oftentimes we mistake the word religion of what we saw in Eisenhower and also in G-Dub's quote
okay.
of we as Christians, I believe, superimpose the word Christian where it says religion.
Hmm.
And we tend to think that, oh, we're losing because, after all, we're quote-unquote a Christian nation.
Hmm.
And we're a nation that has a lot of Christians, but we're not a Christian nation.
Right, right.
So that's one of the reasons why I think the quote is so relevant. And also, I think we have to take an honest look at those two quotes particularly if we want to decouple God, our faith, and the flag.
Right.
So if we want to do that, we have to be honest about maybe some biases that we have or maybe some mistakes that we've made, or even perhaps some ways of thinking that are wrong,
mm-hmm.
To think that Christianity needs America to thrive.
Right,
Christianity
right.
is thriving all over the world, even today, and it has thrived in a lot more harsh environments
right.
than the one we live in
yep.
today. So how could Christians be more effective today?
I think there's a few things. You mentioned three things yesterday. I just want to reiterate on three things: community, participation, and generosity.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that the church, they do. I'm not sure if we do it well. There's a lot of room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first one, community, is kind of what yesterday was talking about. You know, mm-hmm. this idea of fellowship, just the idea of being together, of
right.
doing life together, how important mm-hmm. that is, being with one another. We look at Jesus and how he taught his disciples they were together. Mm-hmm. Another thing, participation. Those are things that we are doing to participate in the kingdom of God. And so mm-hmm. things like evangelism, spiritual formation, the being and becoming that we talk about, mm-hmm. Discipleship, mentoring one another, even just spiritual guidance, even spiritual friendship. Being mm-hmm. that goes again into community, but it's participating together. So community is an act that we're doing together. Spiritual counsel and spiritual direction. You know, the direction thing you hit on soul care yesterday. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really important to just say, like, hey, how are you doing? Like, how's your heart doing? How's your soul? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on inside? Actually being there for people means that you're being intentional, but you're also, again, you're participating in the kingdom of God. And then generosity. Just like we talked about the soup kitchen a few weeks ago. That's an act of service that we can mm-hmm. do for our community. That's just being generous with our time. It's not, mm-hmm. it doesn't even cost any money, but generosity and, you know, giving whenever there's an opportunity to mm-hmm. give, whether it's a mission trip.
Spam. Right, right.
School supplies. That's right, yeah.
All that, fill right. the pantry. It's like doing our part.
Sure.
And all that is a bit of generosity. I mean, people go out of their way to purchase sure. these things, whether it costs a little or costs a lot. And we do have a very generous group of people. I mean, it wasn't just but a couple months ago, speaking of generosity, mm-hmm. and all of this, of course, under the banner, if you will, of fellowship,
right.
that we raised approximately $7,000 in a week and a half for Pastor Bennard
right.
to pay off that land for the high school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just an amazing thing that God did, and he spurred all of us to generosity.
Right. And it's participating in the kingdom of God. So it's not just participating in the kingdom of God happening here in America, but it's worldwide. It's right. us getting our eyes off of just our country and what's going on here, but just the kingdom of God as a whole. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to, you know, to be a disciple is mm-hmm. to participate in the kingdom. So those are three things that I think are a must if we're going to really participate and be active in the kingdom.
Well, I think one of the things too that's when it comes to this idea of fellowship, and that's really what yesterday was about. It was about fellowship. And if we're going to pursue fellowship with God and maintain fellowship with God and pursue and maintain fellowship with other people, mm-hmm. we also have to be self-aware.
Right.
We have to be aware to see, where are my allegiances?
Right.
Am I pledging just my sole allegiance to the flag? Mm-hmm. Or am I pledging my full allegiance to the cross of Christ?
Right.
You know, where am I really putting my faith? Is what I said yesterday, is faith is the attitude and belief that a person gives up all self-effort to gain salvation, but trusts solely in the cross of Christ for salvation and the Lordship of Christ for direction. Mm-hmm. But I believe to do that, you have to get in the issues of self.
Right.
For us to truly be in fellowship with God the way that I believe he wants us to be, and for us to be in fellowship with other believers the way that I believe God wants us to be, mm-hmm. we have to have a growing awareness of self. How did that part of that that message strike you yesterday?
Well, the first thing I'll say is this John Calvin quote that I just think is such a great quote. It says, "Without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. And without the knowledge of God, there is no knowledge of self." Mm-hmm. And so when I heard that the first time, it struck me because if you don't understand God, what he's doing in your life, his purpose, his will for your life, mm-hmm. and you don't understand yourself, they work together. Mm-hmm. Like, God's given us all personalities. He's given us all things about us to learn about us, to grow, into who he's making us to be. And we're all different, but we all have a part to play in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. So, that quote was just, I don't think there's a better one on mm-hmm. the self than that. I mean, you even talked about reasons yesterday, that we avoid the mm-hmm. self. I mean, things like, not wanting to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. And those things are hard. It's like when I was putting that list together, every one of them, I felt like my toes were being stepped on, because mm-hmm. I feel like even myself, I fall short in some regard to every one of these.
Yeah.
When I have really allowed and just asked the Holy Spirit of God to invade my soul, to evaluate me, it's come at, you know, there's always been a level of fear, maybe a little anxiety going into it. But I have to tell you, brother, on the back end, it's been great.
Right.
It has been absolutely great. So I do. I personally resonate with this list. This isn't just like a list to be like, here, I'm going to throw this up for you people. No, it's we.
Like I've wrestled with this too.
Absolutely.
Right. And we've both talked for probably a year or two on becoming more self-aware. And even I feel like as friends and brothers in Christ have become more self-aware. At least I hope that's the case for us.
Yeah.
Another thing you said is just afraid of what people will find. Just scared to look in the mirror because just avoid it. Mm-hmm. I mean, avoid finding the problems and finding what's wrong. Also, even just admitting that we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's because you don't want to confirm what someone else has said about you. So again, it's just the avoiding. I'm not going to look at it anymore. But what are things that have helped you become more self-aware?
Actually, as you were saying that, I was thinking back to a chapter in a book. And outside of the Bible, it's probably the most... there's two chapters in the book Wild at Heart by John Eldridge that have so shaped me. It's chapter 3 and chapter 4. And chapter 4 is called The Wound.
Okay.
And he says that, and he really wrestles with issues in the heart. And he really deals with the aspects of the masculine heart. So for me, his writings have been really, really helpful to help me to look into my life and also to find hope to say, you know what, I'm not the only one who feels this way.
Right.
I'm not the only one who struggles with doubts at times. I'm not the only one who struggles with some fear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the only one who struggled with some selfishness at times.
Right.
I'm not the only one. And yet, Eldridge doesn't give us an out. Instead, he says God is aware of that, and he wants us to fall into Jesus and trust Jesus with all of the wounds. And particularly chapter 4 so radically helped me to... And that was probably one of the first things that God used to show me my true self.
Okay.
That I had a wound. Some of those woundings were caused by other people in my life, and some of those wounds were just caused by me.
Wow.
And it's all a matter of the self. I strongly recommend that people read the book Wild at Heart. If you're a man or a woman, read it for you if you're a man, but also ladies, for your husbands, boyfriends, if you want to get to know them and how to minister to them. And then also, just as a little freebie, there's a little companion piece, a book called Captivating. John and Stacy Eldridge wrote this, and it's the way to the feminine heart or feminine soul. So it would be great for men and women both to read that too.
Gotcha. So I think about another thing that has helped me, I know it's helped you, is the Enneagram.
Yeah.
I remember the first conversation we had about it. I think we were at Chick-fil-A, and I was like, I found this new thing, and it's really great. And you just looked at me kind of worrisome, like, oh, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
But as we started talking about it, and you were totally open to listen, and which I think is great, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you saw how it was helping me.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like, oh, this has something to it.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of you that don't know, we've talked about the Enneagram a little bit at DBC, but this is just a tool similar to Myers-Briggs. Mm-hmm. It's a test you can take, but the difference is where something like Myers-Briggs is great for teams and it shows you the good things about the Enneagram, shows you also what's broken. So it gives you your strengths, but it also shows you, what's called the shadow side, the things that you struggle with.
Right.
So knowing this, it's great to know the good qualities about you, but it's hard to only know those and not to know the things that are broken.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really helpful. It just allows you to see why you react the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're married, I highly recommend this test as well. There's all kinds of resources online that are helpful, and they've been helpful in my marriage. I know they've been helpful in yours and just in your family. And so we recommend that here. And I think that has been, other than just the Holy Spirit speaking to me and me listening, this is a tool that's really helped me in becoming self-aware and knowing that, like you said, we all have fears and doubts. Like, I love the song we sing, The Way, by Pat Barrett. All our fears and doubts, they can all come to.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can't stay long when we're with Jesus. So we're all going to bring in fears and doubts into the church, and that's just a part of being human. That's who God created us to be, but the goal is not so we would hold on to those fears and doubts, but that we would lay them at the cross.
Absolutely. Yep. So the Enneagram has also been helpful for me, as it has been for you, of course. But also, what I have really had to bring to Jesus was a lot of family of origin issues that kept me from believing that I needed community.
Hmm.
one of the things that was very common in my upbringing, particularly with my dad, is my dad was kind of, he is the rugged individual. He doesn't have a whole lot of people cheering him on. He doesn't have, he doesn't naturally invite people in to speak into his life. And that's how I was raised. So Christ had to redeem that in me for me to be the person that I am now. What have you learned from your family of origin?
Sure. I think one thing that sticks out to me would probably be from my dad, but it would just be the idea of avoiding an issue, knowing that something's there, knowing that something's not right, but putting it off, and maybe not even saying I'm never getting around to it, but just avoiding it until until the inevitable, until you just have to, or until you do kind of just forget it and you put it off. I even think about things like even at my house right now, I have a list of things I need to fix and I haven't on some of those things. And you could ask my wife about this, you know, it's like, I haven't went to fix it yet because I am scared. What, like, what if the problem's worse than, you know, then it's going to cost more money. And, but what happens is when we see there's a problem and yet we avoid it most of the time, the problem gets worse, if you, especially with something like your house. And so, but there are things that like pattern that can become a really unhealthy pattern. But it speaks right into community. One of the reasons people don't want to be into community is because they know there's a problem, but getting into the community is going to make you, it's going to force you to look at that problem. People don't want to do that because it's uncomfortable. So we'd rather just kind of put it off to the side and say, well, we'll get around to it maybe later.
Man, but we have to wade into these issues of self. We have to to wade into how is it that I experience the world and how is it that people experience me? And a great tool would be what we just talked about with the Enneagram, but also the family of origin stuff, to wade in as difficult as it is, because when we enter into community with the best version of ourselves, we bring out the best in the community. When we go into community and we enter in with the best version of ourselves, we bring out the best in the community. We have more to offer, and we can not superimpose and want certain things from people. We can be people who give instead of expecting to take, take, take. We can give and help and shape and encourage people to do what it is that God wants them to do.
Yeah, and I think whenever someone, if you're self-aware, I think it's easier when you're self-aware to look around and see the ones that aren't. You're just more, like you've said before, to be self-aware is to be spirit-controlled. You're more in tune with the Spirit. You're listening. You're open. You're aware. And so whenever you're in a room full of people, or even if you're just active in a community, you're able to look around and say, all right, who's struggling here? Who's actually doing well? And I think it helps the community. But when you're self-aware, you understand the things that you struggle with, and you're able to lay those things at the foot of the cross. So it helps everyone in that sense. I totally agree with what you just said.
So when we're self-aware, we have something better to bring to the community. See, a marker, this really the big idea, the takeaway from yesterday and also this conversation, a marker for a born-again follower of Jesus is seeing community as a necessity for Christ-likeness.
And there's this quote from Scott McKnight in his book, A Fellowship of Difference. It says, God's mission in this world is to create the church where God's will is lived out by all of God's people.
All of God's people.
Right, I love, together.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even the main concept or idea even behind that verse, but really all of God's people. That means all of God's people, irregardless what culture you're in, what country you're in, what, you know, what, where you fit in the timeline of humanity. Like all of that. That God's mission in the world is to create the church where God's will is lived out by all of God's people. Man, I love that quote. That is a great book too, by the way. It's a great, great book. But God's mission, think about all the things that we're supposed to do. I mean, we're to glorify God in our evangelism. We're to glorify God in the way that we disciple. We're to glorify God in really all the other eight things that I talked about yesterday. And then I think back to this. I wonder if, because of this great big mission that God has placed for us in the world to do His will, I wonder if there's something to the reason why that we're getting uncomfortable as believers now. I wonder if there's something to we're getting uncomfortable that God is showing us and revealing something to us, really, as believers. And maybe it's that we need to trust Him even when things aren't favorable for Christianity, that largely we need to trust Him above everything else.
regardless of where we are politically.
Right.
Or with where we see culture going.
That right.
It's not our job to look at who's in leadership of the country to just trust that mm-hmm. God has this. None right. of it has come to a surprise, you know, Amen. For him. And that as followers of Jesus, that we should trust him regardless.
And then he puts us together as a family.
Right.
So we're a family of foreigners, if you will, aliens and strangers, ambassadors for Christ, but we're a family, which means that we're not alone. And even with what McKnight said here, that is to create a church where God's will is lived out by all of God's people. I mean, that we're not the only ones doing this, that we're supposed to be in community. We should see community as a necessity for our walk with God and not just a chore. Not something that's an obstacle, like, oh, I've got to add something else to my list. I believe if everybody were to look at these things, all of these under the big umbrella of fellowship, if they would look at evangelism, spiritual formation, discipleship, mentoring, spiritual guidance, spiritual friendship, spiritual counsel, and spiritual direction, if they would look at all of those things, they would see, wow, I need people.
Right. And I need every one of those things. Yeah. And I need to be doing every one of those things.
And maybe even with the Christian subculture and the bubble popping.
Right.
And the pressure that it seems to be being put on Christians. Maybe even in this time, this would be an opportunity for us to not lean upon a political figure or structure or some national identity, but we can instead render our identity in Christ, being part of the family of God, so we can lean heavily into God and lean heavily into others,
right?
Even in the midst of this adversity, that the church of Jesus Christ would prove worthy, the gospel would be effective, and then ultimately, we could be a part working with God to change the world.